pues no hay nada.
Hay que decir. We left off last week. We were discussing last week the significance of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. But just really as a follow-up in terms of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, one sees from the significance of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs how important it is that the ger or the giora see a sincere. We mentioned last week that if a ger or a gioras comes to us, that the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs is totally insincere, that throws into question the validity of the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs entirely. Sometimes you have a situation where the Kabbalah and Mitzvahs may be sincere, the person really is committed to living a life of Torah Mitzvahs, but the reason why they're doing it is not exactly sincere. The reason why they want to convert is they have other ulterior motives. So here the Gemara draws the following distinction. The Gemara tells us in the end of the second paragraph of Shem Zivamos that there was a machlokes atzeinoyim, a person converts for the purposes of ishus, a person converts for the purposes of marriage or for wealth or for other external reasons. So was that an acceptable geirus or not? So there was one time Rabbi Nechemya maintained, whenever a person converts for other reasons, the geirus is not good. Even with the geirus is not good. And the reason is, Rabbi Nechemya seems to understand that there's no way the person could have a valid kabbalah mitzvah. The guy's coming to convert and he's telling you, we know mitzvah is converting with shemishos. So that clearly throws into question the sincerity, and that throws into question the kabbalah mitzvahs. And the Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Nechemya, and the Gemara paskins against Rabbi Nechemya. The Gemara says, the Feirish mi paskin aloha, that kulam geirim heim, that even though the person converted for alternative motives, but lamaisim, the kabbalah mitzvahs are sincere, so then kachavas and the geirus will be acceptable with the other. But even the Chachamim who paskin, where we paskin the halacha that the geirus is acceptable, even the Chachamim agree you're not supposed to do it. The chachil of the Beizin is not supposed to convert somebody if the Beizin knows that they have other reasons why they're converting, and therefore the Gemara says that the Beizin is supposed to ask questions, b'shas geirus, is supposed to make sure that the person doesn't have any other reasons. The Gemara is supposed to ask him, Shema nosa einaich v'isha, Shema nosa einecha v'ben yisrocha yisrael. The Beizin is supposed to question, is supposed to really try to get to the facts, whether the person converted the Shemishus or not. So the Chachil, everybody agrees you're not supposed to convert somebody to Shemishus. But the other, whether the Geirus will be acceptable, is the Machlek is at the Narmi, the Gemara Paschal is the favorite that the Geirus would be acceptable. There are some Achram who throw out the question whether this Tzach of the Gemara really applies to Zman Hazeh on both counts. That means on the one hand, the Gemara says, Allah Chachil, you're not supposed to do it, but the other is good. So some Achram question whether does that Isra Chachil always apply to Zman Hazeh. So already this was a problem in Europe. Sometimes we had a situation where we know for a fact that the person is converting the Shemishas is not an American phenomenon. But Lamaisa, the person looks like they're going to be sincere, that at the end of the day they will keep the mitzvahs. So sometimes it's going to be it's going to be a big mikshel, we're not going to convert them, because in the olden days, so the person, he came to the Beizim rejected the person's geirus, and found them, that was it, they couldn't convert. So unfortunately in Europe, what developed was, the person would come to Beizim, Beizim would reject them, so they go to another brand of rabbis, they go to another kind of a Beizim. So this problem already existed in the 1800s in Europe, in Germany, Hungary, and other communities, where other denominations were starting to take hold. So you had a very, very difficult situation, where we would no longer control geirus. So once the Batei Dinim were no longer the only ones who were calling the shots in geirus, so you had a strange situation where if we're going to reject this person, then they're going to go off to somebody else, and the other geirus that's going to quote unquote be done is probably going to be not acceptable to Gamrei. So many Rabbanim in Europe were of the opinion that we have to now reevaluate this din of Ein Mekam Geir L'Shemishos, because it's not an Issa Gomer. This idea of Ein Mekam Geir L'Shemishos doesn't mean the Geir isn't going to be Chal. It means the Chatchili, you're not supposed to do it. It's not a good idea. So one could argue that we have a situation that Chazal tells us the Chatchili you shouldn't do, but it's a bad idea to do it. We have a rule sometimes, Shasa Chatchili, the other dummy, that sometimes you're going to lose more than you gain if you're going to enforce this halacha. So that becomes a case-by-case basis that the Beizin has to decide whether sometimes it's worth it to look the other way in terms of him. Kabbalah, Geirus, and Shemishas. Again, if there's a Chisar in the Kabbalah Mitzvah, you can't take the attitude, well, it's better we should accept them rather than go to somebody else. It doesn't matter. We accept them. The Geirus is not going to be Chal anyway. So it doesn't matter who's quote-unquote accepting them. But if you have a situation where you know the Geirus will be Chal with the Eved, well, you really suspect the couple really will be Shemitah Mitzvah to some degree. So the Geirus will probably be acceptable. So now the Shala becomes, is it a good idea for us to get involved in such a case? Although Medina de Gemara, No. So Meir Achranim said that in a situation where you're going to lose more than you gain, so maybe it would be a kedai. That's on one side of the coin. Where that halacha becomes a little bit different. Bisman is that on the other side of the coin, though, there was some Achranim that Zav Rav had such an idea, and Rav Herzog, the Rashi in Eretz Yisrael, he also had a similar idea. That this halacha that the Gemara says that b'di'evit kulam geirim, that if a person converts l'shum ishus, so b'di'evit the geirim is going to be acceptable. So one could question whether that kula applies to Zman Hazeh. Why is that? So the Ritva and Masech HaZivam is right, that how could the geirim speak how b'di'evit? L'chareb and l'chem is right. Every time a person converts l'shum ishus, so that's a chisar in the Kabbalah of mitzvah. So l'chareb, how could the Gemara say that b'di'evit the geirim is chal? So the Ritva explains that no, that it's understood that since the guy is coming to live, he's going to be part of the Jewish community, even though his motives may not have been pure mitchila, but Levice is going to keep Torah mitzvahs because there's no other way for him to become part of the Jewish community. In the olden days, you were either part of the Jewish community, you lived as a guy. There was no in between. So if you were part of the Jewish community, so it's understood. Everyone's keeping Shabbos, they're going to keep Shabbos. Everyone's keeping kashrus, they're going to keep kashrus. So comes to the Tzvon explains, whenever you have a person who wants to join the Jewish community, even though his reasons may not have been pure, but he's going to be stuck with the mitzvahs because he's not going to live as an outsider. He's no choice. Once he gave up his non-Jewish religion, so of course he's going to be part of us. So it's understood that there's a Kabbalah of mitzvahs. So some Achrayim said that the Med Dibam Amurim, that's only true in the olden days where there was no way to live a Jewish life without, at least externally, whether every single person was a tremendous Yerush Shemayim, you know, a premium, that's between him and the Rebbe Shlomo, but at least externally, if you wanted to be Jewish, you had to keep Shabbos and Kashrus, you had to keep the ABCs, whereas the Zman Hazeh, he's Achronim Rayim, the Zman Hazeh, a guy can become quote-unquote Jewish, he can be honored by all the Jewish organizations, he doesn't keep Shabbos, doesn't keep Kashrus, or anything. So that's not a stira. I mean, we know it's a stira, but for the perception of the Jewish community, it's not necessarily always a stira. So it came to Davram. The Davram lived in Europe before the war. He was a Rav in Kovna right before the Holocaust. He was Nifter in 1941, right? As the Nazis were taking over Lithuania, so he was Nifter. He was spared the Holocaust, but he was the Rav before the war. So the Davram writes that this Zman Hazeh in Vilna, in Litva, in the 1920s, in the 1930s, in Eastern Europe, so a guy's gonna come, he likes the Jewish girl, so he's gonna come, he's gonna convert, he's gonna tell us a story that he's gonna keep the mitzvahs, and maybe no. So says the Davram, where's the proof that he's gonna keep the mitzvahs, the fact that he's joined the Jewish community? So he'll be a secular Jew, he'll be part of a different party, he'll be part of a different brand of Judaism. So says the Davram, he's not so convinced that the Ritva Svar applies to Zman Hazeh. So now when you have a person who comes and converts the Shemishos, how can we say for sure these Mekabal Mitzvahs? Mechataisa, these Mekabal Mitzvahs. So both of these dinim in the Gemara, both the din that Lechatchili are not supposed to be Mekabal Shemishos, and the din B'di'evet, that if you are Mekabal Shemishos, the Geirus is Chal. So the Achmarim take both of these issues to hand. I mean, maybe things have drastically changed in the sociological of the Jewish community that throw into question both of these applications of Mitzvahs. Who said that we should never be Mekabal Shemishos? On the one hand, that would be a cool of his mind. Another Achmarim, or wait a second, who says that the Geirus of Shemishos is going to be Chal with him at the heaven? So Geirus of Shemishos is usually a tough situation. It's a bad, it's usually a lose-lose situation. Because very often the person is shaky in terms of the Kabbalah mitzvahs, and if there's really no Kabbalah mitzvahs, then we're going to have a very, very serious problem. That 99% of the case of the Geirus and Shemishas, the other party is not really from. Otherwise, how in the world did the party end up in the first place, ending up with a non-Jewish boyfriend? So the answer is that the girl is not so from herself. So now, we're coming, we're going to convert this guy. He's coming and swaying to something down that he's going to keep Torah mitzvahs. And we know that his perception of Torah mitzvahs is his girlfriend's perception of Torah mitzvahs. His girlfriend is far from the biggest tzaddikus in the world. Proof positive, why is she going out with this non-Jew in the first place? So this is an endless cycle in terms of Balagan, in terms of, for lack of a better halakhic term, in terms of Geirus, there's a serious questions on the Kabbalah Samit. There's some serious questions on the Beis Din is supposed to get involved in these kinds of cases. But in theory, there is a halakha out, at least on the books, at least on the Gemara, at least in the Shulchan Aruch, there is a halakha about Lechatchili, you're not supposed to get involved with the Eved. If the Geirus was performed, it would be good.
So once Beis Din declares, whether Beis Din is right or wrong, once they declare that he's a Jew, does that mean that he's a Jew, or really if they made a mistake, he's really not a Jew
Chafetz Chaim? What do you mean they made a mistake? That means Beis Din sized up that was the Das Beis Din, that there was a valid enough Kabbalah Mitzvah, and the halacha is that he's Jewish? Yeah, there is no chlap ishmai in this. That if the
if you really his intention, it doesn't matter.
That doesn't matter. That would be dvarim shebleiv in dvarim. Right? And Moshe wrote, we quoted Moshe last week. It says that the halacha doesn't take into consideration whether if he's lying through his teeth. But Beizin had no reason to believe that he's lying. If Beizin looked at the situation objectively and they figured out this guy's not lying through his teeth, is a big litzanos. So that's called dvarim shebleiv overleiv kolodman. But if you have a situation where the person really there's no reason for Beizin to believe that there was a problem, but the guy in his heart of hearts had in mind not to look up mitzvahs. So that's the verb to him. That doesn't matter. Then the Geirus would be acceptable. It would be 100% good. Even Klapa Shmai, the Geirus would be good, because the Halach and Shalayim is Nikva based on Dvarim Shablai Venim Dvarim. So that person would in fact be Jewish. Ramesh has a truth about somebody, about a Geirus who came to him, that she said that at the time when she was converting, everything looked okay, everything looked like she was from, and at the time she was converting, so she didn't express to the Basin that she had some reservations about certain things. But Basin had no reason to believe that. So Ramesh writes, she says later that she's telling us a story that she had some reservations. The Basin Pasuk came up that there was a Kabbalah Samitzvah, and again, it wasn't that Basin was closing their eyes to the reality. They looked at the reality, external reality, indicated that she is doing the Kabbalah Mitzvah, and then they gave her 100% chal, because whatever in the heart of hearts is Vam Shablai. It's because of these problems in terms of the sincerity of the Ger that the Gemara gives us a whole protocol as to what we're supposed to say to try to dissuade a person from converting. The Gemara tells us when a prospective Ger comes to us that we're supposed to follow in the footsteps of Naomi, the Gemara calls the Pesukim from Megillas Rus, that Naomi tried to explain to her that, oh, it's alright, go back to your parents' house, to keep the Shulchan Aruch, they know, you don't have to be part of the Klai, so you can be okay, and why do you want to be part of us? They're at Tzaras, we have problems. So the Gemara is supposed to give a whole Jewish history lesson, tell them that there's anti-Semitism in the world, and there are problems with being Jewish, and but only once the person really passes that initial test, and then they say, no, Afal Pichain, I want to be part of it. So then the Gemara says, then you're not supposed to dissuade them anymore, then you're supposed to encourage them. But the Pasuk says, once the Omi saw that Rus was sincere, so then forget, then the Gemara says, then there's a mitzvah Kabbalah's Geirim. So it's a delicate balance. On the one hand, there's no mitzvah to run after Geirim. We're not supposed to, we don't run around collecting Geirim. We're supposed to forget. We're supposed to try to dissuade a person when they come to convert. But that's only until the point when you realize that they're very sincere. Once you realize the person is genuine, so then forget. Then you're not supposed to push them away. Then you mechuyev to be mekarev. Then you mechuyev to assist them. Then it becomes the mitzvah of Kabbalah's Geirim. I remember one time I was on the A train. Those who are on the trains in New York will appreciate the story. So I was on the A train and I got on a YU. I was going down to probably 34th Street at the time. So this person gets on the train at 125th Street and they sit down right next to me. So those who know the A train know that from 125th to 59th you stop. You can't Rikos and Yotzim Rabatz Express. So I'm sitting down the train. I happened to have been learning Yevamos at the time, but the sugars of Geirus happened to come, happened to appear. I was learning that particular sugi, but I had a Gemara Yevamos up in front of me, and a woman sits down next to me, and she strikes up a conversation with me, and she says, you know, I see you look like you're a rabbi, you know, what are you, she never be. She says, what are you studying? So I said, I'm studying Jewish law, the Talmud. She says she's very, very interested. And she said that she's been involved in the process of conversion, and what a perfect opportunity to stuck to 59th Street on the train. What a perfect opportunity. She's sitting next to a rabbi who's studying the Talmud. She just wants to, you know, bounce some ideas off of me. So, okay. At that point, I want to pull one of those emergency cords. But anyway, so I figured, okay, we'll follow along. So it happened the best. I don't remember what it was. It was during the Gulf War, the first Gulf War, 1991. So she said, I'm very, very interested in becoming Jewish. So I figured, this is my place. This is the Gemara. Nevama says that the first thing you're supposed to do is to dissuade the person. So I said to them, I said, you really sure you want to become Jewish? I said, you know, listen to the news these days. You know, there's a war going on. Imagine we have there's a war between Iraq and America. The whole world's fighting a war. And who's getting killed? I said, the Jews in Israel. They're the ones who are getting missiles thrown at them. I said, you see that the Jews suffer. It's been going on for thousands of years. We're too rough for them. You saw it. Marsh was opening up the Gemara and quickly getting all the news. Like, you know, it's not such a good thing to be Jewish. So she says to me, Marsh, like the Gemara says, Aloshin, Omer es afal pichain. She says to me, even though it doesn't matter, even though that's what's happening, my heart, my death, I feel like my soul is destined to become part of the Jewish people. That's what she said to me. So I'm looking at 96 degrees. So I said to him, well, okay, let me really feel the way. I said, I don't know if this is the forum right now. I said that maybe we should link you up with a rabbi to speak to you. So she said, oh, I'm already been involved in a rabbi. I'm already involved with Shlomo Kalbach. He's involved in converting me. I said, okay, so call Shlomo Kalbach. He's very, he's very qualified and convert you and, whatever. At that point, it was 59th Street. At that point, I did not have to get off the train at that point, but I did. And I said, I'm so sorry. I have to, I said, please be in touch with Shlomo Kalbach and I'm sure I'll be able to. So I don't know what would have happened. Maybe there's a song about it. But on the A-train. That was my only chance in life ever to fulfill this gemara about dissuading a person from converting. On a more serious note, now we move on to the next very important halacha in terms of his geiras, and that's the role of Beis Din. So the gemara tells us in Maseches Yevamos in a few places that Beis Din is absolutely critical to geiras, and a geir that converts not in the presence of an acceptable halachic Beis Din is eino geir. The geiras is batel mevutel on the level of deraisa. How do we know this is true? So the gemara quotes you a different sukkim for this. Both sukkim revolve around the word mishpat, that the Torah uses the phrase mishpat shofet in the context of geiros. In one place the Torah says, "Ushvat dem tzedek ben ishu ben ochu ben geiro," and in one place it says, "Mishpat echad yilachem lager garitchem." So the Gemara says, "Mishpat ksiv bei," and therefore you require three. And geish in this guy ben olden atzmo is eno geir. So min a Torah, the geiros must be supervised by Beis Din. We'll talk about it as we go on. What exactly does that mean? Has to be supervised. Which part of the geiros? Is it the mila, the tefillah, the bas mitzvahs, all of the above, some of the above? That's a further question we'll get to a little bit later. But before we get to the details of what Beis Din is supposed to be doing, we have to ask a basic question. Is if so, that there's a requirement of Beis Din, how ever megar anybody bizman hazeh? The Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechah Sanhedrin that there are really two different types of batei dinim in halacha. There's a Beis Din shel smuchin, and there's a Beis Din shel hadyotah. So Beis Din shel smuchin means that the dayanim have real, authentic smicha going back ishmi pi yishan ma'ishir rabbeinu. When the Pasuk says in Parshas Pinchas that Moshe Rabbeinu gave smicha to Yeshua, he put his hands on him and he taught him called Parakulu, and then Yeshua gave smicha to the next generation, to his Tamidim, and that process was called smichas chachamim, so that continued until sometime during the period of the Gemara, sometime during the Amoraim's period, so that smichas chachamim ceased to exist. Why did it cease to exist? The Gemara says that smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. Even though the original smicha was tachat chutz la'aretz, but once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, so then smicha can only be given in Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, all the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael have smicha, and all the Rabbanim in Babel, unless they came to Eretz Yisrael to receive smicha, so the Rabbanim in Babel didn't have smicha. And then after the Churban, so the Jewish community was still somewhat intact in Eretz Yisrael. Time of the Mishnah, there was still a thriving Jewish community up in the north. But then soon after the period of Avida Nasi, so there was a very big drop in the Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. And basically what happened by the beginning of the 300s, when once the Roman Empire accepted the Christianity, so that was basically the end of the, for all practical purposes, of a well-functioning Jewish community in Eretz Yisrael. So there were two important developments that happened halachically at that period, around the in the 4th century or so. So one was that smicha came to an end because there was no one left in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, there were a handful of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, but there was no, the thriving Torah center had switched to Babel was not, the Babylonia wasn't under the Romans, so things were significantly better politically for the Jewish community. And not only did the smichas chachamim end at that point, but the kiddush al-piyah re'iyah also ended at that point for the same reason. You can't declare kiddush al-chodesh unless you have dayanim or smuchim. So it was at that period of time that Hillel HaShani, the descendant of Avida Nasi, set up the calendar, and therefore we don't have to rely on the Eidim coming anymore. And the whole system of declaring Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov that we have in place today was basically a result of that same period of time. So a kopanim, for the last 1500 years or so, we haven't had Dayanim or Smuchim. We only have Dayanim called Hedyotos, who are called, the word Hedyot doesn't really have a very positive connotation. The word Hedyot comes from the Greek word idiot, but that's the same word, but it doesn't mean an idiot like we call, but it means a person who doesn't, is not qualified in the same way. It means he's not as qualified as a Samach. So the halacha tells us, the first sugya Masech Nehedrin tells us that min haTorah, in order to serve as a dayan, you have to have smicha. There's a technical question in the Gemara, whether that means all dinei Torah you have to have smicha, or only certain dinei Torah you have to have smicha. But many dinei Torah, to serve on dinei nefashos, for sure you require smicha. To serve even on many cases of dinei mamonos, you require smicha. According to many opinions of the Gemara, to serve in any case of dinei mamonos, any monetary case, you have to have smicha chachamim. So the Gemara raises the question in the end of Masech Gittin, in the Masech Bava Kamma, How do we ever have dinner terribles man? Is that two guys have a fight and I say you owe me $10,000 and you say I don't owe you $10,000, so the halach is you're not allowed to go to a non-Jewish court. That's an issa d'araisa to take a case to a non-Jewish court. You have to go to a Jewish court. So you go to a beis din. So they come to three rabbanim and sit down and judge the case. Well, how can you go to three rabbanim? Who are they? They're only hediyotis. So how do they have a right to judge the case? So the Gemara says you have a right that the ikra din really they don't have a right to judge the case. The same way you're not allowed to go to a non-Jewish court. You're not allowed to go to a beis din shalidyotis. The Gemara says the elam mishpat b'shatos from the snam below from hediyotos. You have to go to a qualified beis din who has smicha. So what do you do bisman as that? So the Gemara says in Bava Kamma that bisman as that what we do is as follows. That we are acting as shlichim of the original batei dinim in Eretz Yisrael. What the Gemara calls the principle of shlichus sayu called dinan. That we're acting as the agents, we're the representatives of those original batei dinim from 1500 years ago when they closed up shop. So they said from here on in we're appointing as our representatives. All the Jewish community is going to point to beis din, so they're just acting as the shlichim of the original dayanim, which who had smicha. That's the principle the Gemara develops. That's called shlichus sayu. So this principle appears in two places in the Gemara. It appears in the beginning of the 8th Berach of Bava Kamma when it comes to judging cases in terms of din imamnis bizman hazeh. And it also appears in the end of Maseches Gittin. The Gemara tells us that sometimes beis din is permitted to enforce a get. Normally we know that a get has to be done where it's on a ish. The pasuk says, that the husband has to give the get willingly. If the husband gives the get under coercion, so then the get is batel mevutel. The get is not acceptable in HaTorah. Nevertheless, the Mishnayos tell us that sometimes beis din is permitted, sometimes beis din is supposed to actually force the husband to give a get. How can the beis din force the husband to give a get? If the halacha is he has to give it willingly, so the Gemara explains in the Basra that at least one day in the Gemara is that it's based on the idea that everybody really wants to do the right thing. Everybody, people here, everyone really wants to listen to what the halacha is. It's just that sometimes people get carried away. They get blinded by Yetzaharas. But at the end of the day, when beis din beats the living daylight and is out of him, either literally or figuratively, so the person is really doing what he's supposed to do in the first place, and therefore the Torah considers that to be a get meritzono. So whatever the lumbus is, well, nice, there is a concept that beis din can be kaifer to give a get. So under certain circumstances, beis din is permitted to be kaifer to give a get. The only thing is that beis din is only permitted to do it when the halacha permits them to do it. If the beis din is kofer in a situation where they're not supposed to do it, so that throws into question the entire validity of the get. So comes the Gemara, the end of Maseches Gittin, and says that this koach of kfiyah of beis din is limited only to beis din shel smuch, and beis din shel adyotos are not permitted to be kaif by the get. And the Gemara learns out from the same pasuk, the elam shpat mishatosim lifneihem below lifnei adyotos, that only the only people who have the authority to ever force anyone to do anything is the beis din shel smuch, a real bona fide beis din. So the Gemara raises the question, how we ever kaif on Gittin bizman hazeh? Not literally bizman hazeh today. It's very hard for us to be kaif on Gittin because the batei dinim don't have the teeth to be kaif on Gittin. But in the olden days, when the beis din had the authority to mamish sometimes, to literally force the person to give a get, so the Gemara says, how can you do that? The beis din is not qualified. The beis din is not authorized. The beis din is not a beis din shel smuchin. So the Gemara says the same story. The Gemara says, shlichusayik avdinan, that in Uchinami, that even though we personally, as dayanim, we're not really qualified, but we were appointed as shlichim by the original batei dinim who were qualified to do so. So the Gemara uses this principle of shlichusayik in two places in Shas. One, the gavei dinim mamonis, in the beginning of Perkis Chayvon Bava Kamma. And one at the end of Hamagarish, into the ninth parakum, it says, Gittin vis-a-vis Kviya on Gittin. So come some Rishonim and say, that must be the answer for Gerus as well. But the Gemara never says it by Gerus. The Gemara never connects the dots. The Gemara says that we have Gerus Bizman Hazeh. We have Amoraim who practice Gerus. We have Dinim in the Rambam. Shulchan Aruch, everybody knows we accept Gerim Bizman Hazeh. Yet, it doesn't explain, the Gemara never asked this question. How can you accept Gerim Bizman Hazeh? We don't really have Dayanim Bizman Hazeh. So come a group of Rishonim and say, that, yeah, it's based on the same answer. The same answer the Gemara gave for Gittin, and the same answer the Gemara gave for Din Imamnis, the stomach, that's the answer for Gerus as well. It's all based on the principle of Shlichusayim. So the Ramban in Maseches Yevamos quotes this answer from some Rishonim, Tosfos quotes this answer from some places, and the Ramban raises the question. The Ramban says that, is this really a good application of Shlichusayim? This principle of Shlichusayim, this strange concept in Halacha that we paskin Din Imamnis, Bizman Hazeh, based on the fact that we're shlichim, where does this come from? The Torah has this concept of shlichus, poskim chumash, hadav shalom shalom shlichusayim. What is this? Is this a joke? This is shlichus? This is shluch shalom kamosim? That's a farce. That's not shlichus. Shlichus means when the Mishalech is still alive, the other Mishalech is dead. Mishalech is dead 1,500 years already. So the last days in that function in Eretz Yisrael, the year 300, so they appointed me as a Shaliach. So that whole thing is a joke. That's not Shlichus. So what does the Gemara mean when it says Shlichusayu? So the Ramban says that it appears to him, possibly, that the whole principle of Shlichusayu was only Midirabana. I mean, the Chama made this whole thing up called Shlichusayu. There's no such thing in the Torah of Shlichusayu. So M. Cain says, no, but how does it work? How can we invoke this principle of Shlichusayu in Mamanis and Gittin if it doesn't really work in the Torah? So the Ramban says that's not a problem, because indeed in Mamanis we have a right to say Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. The Gemara says in Masechet Yevamos that Beis Din can declare money to be Hefker whenever they deem appropriate. So in Achinami, Minat Torah, when two people come for a Din Torah Bizman Hazeh, and they come to a Beis Din, so the Beis Din is not functioning, but Torah is the real formal Beis Din of Beis Din Shel Shluchim, because they don't have Smicha. They're not functioning, but Torah Shluchim, because the concept of Shluchos is a farce when it comes to this type of Shluchos. So what right do Dayanim ever have to judge a Din Torah Bizman Hazeh? So the Ramban says it's Beis Din, Hefker, Beis Din, Hefker. It's a Tachonos Hacham, because there are a lot of judges in the Torah, because otherwise, the other option, they're going to go to non-Jewish court, which is clearly out of the question. So it's better that they go to a Jewish court, even though the Dayanim are not really halakhically authorized to do it, but it's better, it's the lesser of two evils, so therefore the Chachamim instituted Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and that's how all the Imamim work this man is asked. And then the Ramban asks himself, what about Gittin? How can we accept a get that was authorized by a Beis Din that coerced the person and the husband into giving the get? The get should be bottled of Mavutam in a Torah, if the Dayanim don't have the koach to do that. So the Ramban says, well, we know, in the realm of Gittin, in Kedushin, so call them a Kaddish, and I said, the Rabbanim a Kaddish, ask in the Rabbanim the Kedushim in Ein. The Gemara has a principle in Kedushim and in Tzubas, and Gittin, that if the Chachamim wanted to clear an original Kedushim to be Batla Mavuto, they have the power to do that, because, at least the way some Rishonim read the Gemara, also based on Hefker, based on Hefker, means when the husband gave a ring to his wife, and he was Makaddish 50 years ago, so that was assuming that the ring actually belonged to her. What if the ring didn't belong to him? What if the ring didn't belong to him? What if Beis Din declared that the ring was Hefker? And he glory mills so that the whole Kedushin was never Chal in the first place. Or other Rishonim say that the reason why Hefker, why Afkeinu works is based on Tanai. At first it was Mekadosh and Isha, ala Tanai. And on the Mekadosh, you all Tanai that it snows today. So if it doesn't snow, so then the Kedushin is not going to be Chal. So when a person concludes the statement of Kedushin, he says, Kedas Moshe Yisrael. What does Kedas Moshe Yisrael mean? So the Rishonim explain. It means the person is saying, I'm only Mekadosh you if the Rabbanim agree. If Moshe Rabbeinu agrees, if the Rabbis agree, if the Shacharach agrees, then the Kedushin is Chal. If the Rabbanim don't agree to it, then the Kedushin is not Chal. So that's another approach of Rishonim, how Chazal knew this principle called Afkeinu. But Lamais, at the end of the day, if the Rabbanim decide they want to be Mefkir the Kedushin, they can do so. We find in the Gemara Afkeinu used in very, very limited cases. The Rishonim write that you see the Chazal didn't use Afkeinu as a freebie. Otherwise, all of the Jewish family becomes Afkeinu. Every time there's any Shaila, any time a couple comes to a Beis Din, they want to get divorced, so why bother giving a get? Let's forget about Gittin. Just declare Afkeinu every time. So you see that that's a farce. The Chazal didn't want to do that. Chazal only said Afkeinu when they sized up the Ruach Kodesh, when it's appropriate to say Afkeinu, when it's not appropriate to say Afkeinu. That's why there are a lot of people today who are who shrine Chavakayim. Let's say Afkeinu. Let's solve all the problems in the world today. We'll just say Afkeinu. So the answer is that Chazal didn't do that. There are two problems in the Masechet Yevamos about if a person's and the husband is missing and they can't find the body and they have can't find Eidim and all kinds of problems of Iguna. Why didn't Chazal just say Afkeinu and end the discussion? So you see that whatever reason, whatever the answer to that question is, you see that they didn't. So it's clear from the Gemara that Afkeinu is not a solution to every problem. Chazal picked one, two, three places where they applied Afkeinu, and that's all there is there no more. So if that's the case, so comes from Rishonim and say, comes to Ramban and says, Mestama, that's what the Gemara means, and the end of Masechet Gittin also, when the Gemara says that Bizman Hazeh were being kofar on Gittin, how can we be kofar on Gittin, the Ramban says, if Kfir requires a Beis Din, and Beis Din requires Smuchin, and we don't have Smuchin Bizman Hazeh, and Shlichusai was only Midirabonon, so the buck stops here, so how does Kfir on Gittin work Bizman Hazeh? So the Ramban says it must be, for lack of a better solution, it must be Afkeinu. It must be that the Beis Din declared that the original Kedushin was Batul and Mevuto. It must be some special Takanas Hacham in the realm of Gittin and Kedushin that they have the right to do so. So when all the dust settles, the Ramban says, we have all of two Gemaras that speak about the principle of Shlichusayu, the Gemara in Dinei Mamonis and the Gemara about Gittin, and neither of them are convincing that Afkeinu is a Din Midaraisa. One could argue this is Hefker Beis Din Hefker, and that's Afkeinu, and it's not really a principle of Midaraisa, called Shlichusayu.
Why would you need a get,
Well, huh? No, he really wouldn't theoretically make it, but the chamum will only mafkiya if you do it, they get. The same reason they don't want it to be hafkevelt every time a woman comes, they want to get divorced, so just declare that she's, so Rashi writes that way in Ksubas, that sometimes the chamum declare hafkiya, they force to tell you to give a get. The get is really minatari, not good, but we want you to go through the process of having a get, and then we're going to declare hokus pokus based on hafkiya that the kiddush was not the chamum. So comes the Ramban and says, if all this is true, so then back to our original question. We're learning Geirus, we're not learning Geirus, we're not learning Imamunas. How are we makabel Geirus, man? Is there? Vafke Inu doesn't make any sense by Geirus, and Hefke Rizin Hefke doesn't make any sense by Geirus. Geirus, we have a non-Jew, and we want to transform this non-Jew to be Jewish, and we'd like the person to be Jewish midaraisa. We don't want people Jewish midarabban, and that's a very difficult concept. We would like somebody to be Jewish according to the Chumash definition of Jewish, obviously. So how do you do that? How do the ABCs work? How do you transform a person from being not Jewish to being Jewish? Because modern said we don't have a Beis Din, and the Beis Din that we have today are Beis Din Shel Adyotus, and our Beis Din Shel Smuchim, and the concept of Shulchan Sayyid doesn't exist. Shulchan Sayyid is only Midir Abanan. So talk other Rishon disagree with the Ramban. Other Rishon say that Shulchan Sayyid was talking about the Raisa, but the Ramban wasn't so convinced. The Ramban was mafakfik that maybe Shulchan Sayyid was only Midir Abanan. So how does Geirus stop as modern said there's lack of a Beis Din? So the Ramban says the answer is, that's based on something totally different. It's nothing to do with Shlichus Sayyid. It's based on the following. We learned a couple of weeks ago when we started the Sugars of Geirus, the Gemara in Krisus and the Test tells us that when a person converts, they have to follow the model of Matan Torah. Mila, Tvila, and bringing a Korban. But bringing a Korban doesn't apply to Zman Azeh. And the Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe Zman Azeh, there's no Geirus because you can't bring a Korban. So the Gemara says, no. There's a post in Chumash that says, L'dayr Seichem, Chiyogri Chem Geir L'dayr Seichem. The Torah is telling us that Geirus will continue for all generations. The Torah itself, the Rabbanu Shlomo who wrote the Torah, obviously knew that there's going to come a time when there's no Beis HaMikdash. There's going to come a time when you can't bring a korban. And still the Rabbanu Shlomo wrote the Torah so HaKadoshah that L'Dayra Seichem. There's still going to be a parsha in 2007 in Bergenfeld, it could still be Makabel Geirim, even though the Kodesh Baruch knew full well that there's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash. So you see, when it comes to Chos Geirus, there's a klal. The klal is, for lack of a better term, that the show must go on. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter. You don't have a Beis HaMikdash, so what? You don't have a Korban, so what? So says the Ramban, you see from here that there's a klal gadol in Luchos Geirus. Whatever you can't do in Luchos Geirus is not ma'akev. So says the Ramban, bizman hazeh, we don't have smuchim. The Rabban Shalom knew we're not going to have smuchim. The Rabban Shalom gave us the Torah 3,500 years ago. He knew that there's going to come a time in Jewish history there's not going to be authentic smuchim. There's not going to be a Beis HaMikdash smuchim. And Amal Tichem the Torah wrote L'Dayra Seichem. So the Ramban borrows that Gemara in Krisos and Daftes and says, just as the Gemara says that this man is there, it doesn't matter, there's no korban. The Shkatelos, the Geirus still goes on even without a korban. Who would deny me? There's no Beis HaMikdash Smuchim, this man is there. So we do without Beis HaMikdash Smuchim, that's also good enough. So at the end of the day, everybody agrees that you have Geirus, this man is there, in that Torah. There's no question that the Geirus, this man is there, is blinding with their eyes, huh? It's just a question of how you get there. What happened to this Beis Din component? So according to Hefter Rishonim, it was solved based on Shlichus Sayyid, based on the principle that appears in Gittin and in Hanabah Bekama. And according to the Ramban, no, it's not nothing to do with Shlichus Sayyid. According to the Ramban, it's based on a Gzeres HaKosav of L'Dayra Seichem, the same Gzeres HaKosav that appears in Krisos Naftas, Lagabi Yekorban. So if one looks at the Rambam, this review where the Rambam quotes the Dinim of Geira, so one gets the impression from the Rambam that this whole discussion was a moot discussion, which is a nice shikul Torah for the last 20 minutes, but according to the Rambam, the whole question never really got off the ground. The assumption of the question was, is that don't you need a Beis Din of Smukin, don't you need a higher level of Beis Din, and therefore we can't be Mekabel Geirim and Gevalt, you have to find the coolest by the Heter. The Rambam doesn't quote that there ever was such a halach of a Beis Din Shel Smuchin. It could be that according to the Rambam, even a Beis Din Shel Adyotis was good with Chila. Even the days of Meshur Beinu, you didn't require a Beis Din Shel Smuchin. The Rambam describes in Uchus Yisuribiya that there were certain geiruses that took place historically that were supervised by Beis Din that weren't really so qualified to supervise. The Rambam points out, the Gemara says that Eim Akavim Geirim Bimei Shlomo, in the days of Shlomo Melech, you weren't supposed to accept Geirim because since the Jewish community was thriving so well, everyone was so wealthy, so we always suspect that people are going to convert, so they're not converting for good reasons. So the Gemara says that there are different times in Jewish history that you're not supposed to Makabel Geirim, and the Rambam writes, they were Makabel Geirim then anyway, they were Geirim who were converting in the days of Shlomo Melech, in the days of David Melech, and we know for a fact, Shlomo's life were converting. So the Rambam writes, how could it be? How could you have people who are converting to the Gemara says they're Makabim Geirim? So the Rambam writes, the answer is that all the Batei Din weren't listening to us. That's what the Rambam writes. He writes that there were Batei Din out there. They were Beis Din Shel Adyotos. They were not the greatest Tamil Chum in the world. They weren't the Sanhedrin. They weren't Reuyim Lekach. But there were three of them who were getting together. They were Makabim Geirim. So the Rambam describes it wasn't we sometimes get Chush Tadas. in the realm of Geirus, that why are people getting involved in Geirus if they're not 100% qualified to do so? So the Rambam says this is not nothing new, this happened in the old days as well. So the Rambam describes at a time of David HaMelech, time of Shlomo HaMelech, Leshon Ketikunam, where there were plenty of authorized but they didn't around, there were still unauthorized people accepting Geirus, and the Rambam says the Geirus are still chal, even if the Beis Mishael is Yelzos. So the Rambam seems to say that there never was a din of smuchin. Like the Ramban says that it's a special harosh shah of the Seicha, but not like based on shlichus ayu. The Rambam says, even if you live at a time where there are beis mishael smuchin, and if a beis mishael has yotos goes out and accepts geirus, the geirus is still chal. So from the Rambam you get the impression that there never was a halacha of smicha in the first place when it comes to Kabbalah's Geirim. Why not? Why shouldn't there be a din of smuchin? Doesn't the Gemara say that in order to serve as a dayan for din imamdus, for din nefashos, for kiddush chaydesh, for all areas of halacha, in a Torah you have to have smicha. So there seems to be a major machlokes that's taking place here between the Rambam and the Ramban, the Rambam against many of the Rishonim, as to what the nature of this din of smicha is all about. The Ramban and the Balei HaTosfos are assuming that dayan smuchin applies in theory to Geirus, that means really Minatori really should require smicha to be Mekabel Geir, and they have to figure out a kinach as to why it doesn't apply today. Ashlichusayu, Darasech, Magzeres HaKos, something changed, but the Ikaron, basically the halacha is that you do require smuchin. Whereas according to the Rambam, mitchila, there never was a requirement of smuchin. So what's the shayla? What are they arguing about? So the Rav suggested that what they're arguing about is really a fundamental question as to the very nature of the din of smuchin. That why is it that the Torah tells us that you have to have smicha when you pass in a shalom, the imamidus, and the nefashis, and kiddush chaydesh, all these cases, why is it that you require to have smuchin? So one could raise the following question, the following, priska chakira, what the nature of this din of smicha is all about. So one could suggest that the din of smicha is a din in the gavra, namely, you figure that word's going to come in somewhere, it's a din in the gavra, I mean, that defines what's called a dayan. One of the qualifications of being a dayan has to be a male, according to just about all Rishonim, a dayan has to be a male, and he has to be someone who's a Shem Torah mitzvahs, and one of the requirements of a dayan, and the gavra of a dayan is that a dayan has to be someone who has smicha. That's one way of understanding the din of smicha. Well, one could suggest, no, that smicha is not a din in the gavra of a dayan, but smicha is a din in a psak. Namely, that whenever you have a psak din, so the psak din has to have authority to it. It has to be coming from the source of the kimitzion tetesar, Rosh Hashanah. It has to be from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one who passed in the Shailas Elavat. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't pass in the Shailas directly. He gave the Torah over to us, the Shemayim, so we have to pass it. So only those people who are authorized by the Ribbono Shel Olam to pass in Shailas, only their psak has the koach, has the teeth of an official formal psak to it. So what does it mean? What component creates that status of an official formal psak? If the person who's giving that psak is a samuch, so that's a different type of a psak. But this din of smicha is not a halacha in the dayan per se, it's not a halacha in the gavra of the dayan, it's a halacha in psak. My nafkamina, the tremendous nafkamina, sometimes the halacha requires dayanim, but the role of the dayanim is not the Torah's toskim, means they're not paskin and shilas in the case. The Torah requires that a dayan has to be present for certain ceremonies, certain halachic procedures required to be done under the auspices, under the authority of a Beis Din, but not that any shilas per se, not that there's a Beis Din but there's psak. So let's say Lamashal in the realm of Chalitza, so the first Mishnah in the 12th parak of Yevamos tells us that you require dayanim, you require three dayanim for a Chalitza, and the Gemara says the favorite that they don't have to be smuchin. There's a special Xeris HaKosov the Gemara learns out from that even if they're Beis Din Shal Adyota, so that's okay as well. So how do you understand that halacha, that a Beis Din Shal Chalitza doesn't have to be smuchin? So some Rishonim understand it. So there's a cause of the Torah sent to Yotzei Min HaKlal. So the Rambam says, no, the Rambam says, the reason why Beis Din Shel Chalitza doesn't have to be smuchin is because the nature of a Beis Din Shel Chalitza, the role of a Beis Din Shel Chalitza is not to pass in Shailas. Sometimes the Shaila comes up in a Chalitza, but it's not the job of the Beis Din to pass in the Shaila. Let's say you're sitting in a Chalitza and the Shaila comes up. So they can call Rav Moshe also, they can look it up in Shacharach. They don't have to be down on it, you don't have to have a Moshe Beis Din to decide to Shaila whether the shoe's kosher or not. Yes, you call up someone who knows the Chalitza and he decides. Beis Din and Chalitza are not passing Shaila. You sat in the Chalitza. You're passing Shaila the Chalitza? That's a Maisa Beis Din that the Torah says. The Ein has a Kenyan. That has to take place in front of the Kenyan, in front of the Beis Din. But the Beis Din is not doing anything. The Beis Din is just supervising this procedure. Without the Beis Din, the Chalitza is going to be Basel and Mavuto. So comes the Rabbim and says, that's why there's a requirement of smicha, because smicha is only necessary when you have a Beis Din b'teres peiskim, when you have a psach halacha, that psach has to be authorized by a Beis Din shel smuchin. But it's just a nice Beis Din b'alma, so then there's no requirement of smuchin altogether. So the Rav explained, that's how the Rabbim understood the Beis Din of Geirus as well. The Beis Din of Geirus aren't paskin shilas. It could be shilas come up in the process of, in the context of Geirus, you can have a shilas that comes up, so the Beis Din doesn't paskin shilas. They call a rabbi, whoever knows more was Geirus. So who answered the shilas for them? But when you have a Beis Din sitting on a case of dinim amidus, they can't call up somebody else to ask them what to do. They have to paskin it. That's their role. They don't know how to paskin it. You get off the Beis Din. So when it comes to a Beis Din of Geirus, the Beis Din of Geirus on a poskim, they're not paskin a shilas. They're just serving as a ma'aseh Beis Din b'alma. So the Rambam understood when you have a Beis Din that's functioning as a ma'aseh Beis Din b'alma, not because it's poskim, then there never was a din of smicha in the first place. Smicha is not a din in kviyas shem agavra. Smicha is a din just in the psak per se. Let's say a moshul ma'adavadomer by Beis Din of Ataras Nadarim. So Beis Din of Ataras Nadarim, also there's no din of smuchin. You just have to have three guys. They're also good. As long as they're basically kosher with bayonim. So that's also okay. Because by Beis Din of Ataras Nadarim, there's also no shilas. There's no give and take. There's no shilas that are taking place. There's a mice of Beis Din. A guy comes, he tells you, Pesach Charot or whatever the grounds for Ataras Nadarim. And the Beis Din, I use the word paskim, but the Beis Din just says that he's, that b'tloch, b'tloch, b'tloch. They're not poskim anything. The dayanim was sitting on a Beis Din of Ataras Nadarim. Lavdafka are qualified to paskim, a shilas of Ataras Nadarim. It doesn't matter that as long as they're a mice of Beis Din, they're kosher to be dayanim. They know a little bit what they're doing. If they, sometimes you have Ataras Nadarim Rav Rosh Hashanah, so sometimes people think it's like saying Tehillim or something, so that's no good. But as long as everyone understands a little bit what they're doing, that's also good enough.
Doesn't that also you want them to any three guys that do a
gay list. Right, that's the din. The din, right, the din is if you have any three Shamashab, if you have any three Shamashabas guys, any three from people who are Makabal Gayrim, so Bidiyev and the Gayrim is going to be Chal. If all the Gayrim is going to be Chal, as long as they have it, ABC, as long as they did everything right, as long as they did the Milut, as long as all the procedures were right, if the procedures were done wrong, then of course the Gayrim is not going to be Chal. And they have to be a little bit knowledgeable, they have to know just a little bit what they're doing, but they don't have to be the greatest. I'm not saying that's good public policy. Public policy is that the Geirim, but technically speaking, if you have, that's the basis of the Yaitis that the Rambam was describing. The Rambam of Chassidus Rabbiya writes that that was rampant in the days of the Rosh Shlomo, that you had Dayanim who were accepting Geirim who weren't really supposed to be doing it. But as long as...
it has a full force
and
effect.
Yeah, the person did the Yaitis, just as long as the Dayanim are crushed as we Dayanim, and as long as the procedure was done properly, so then in the Chanam, then the Geirim is going to be held.
For example, don't they only pass in the Kabbalah for mitzvahs?
It's not really a stock of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. There's a Kabbalah and Mitzvahs has to be done in the presence of the Beis Din. If there's a shaila about the integrity of Kabbalah and Mitzvahs, they'll call up Moshe Feinstein, they'll call up Poisek. But they don't have to pass. They don't have to pass.
It doesn't have to be B'tarah Smuchim.
It's not B'tarah Tzach, right? Right, it's not B'tarah.
No, but in Geirus, we're saying that the reason why the Beis Din is good is because if there is a shaila, they could ask somebody.
No, but those shailas are for the head to take a shaila. Those are, let's say, the Moshe. A person comes and asks me a shaila for Shabbos. So there never was a din that you have to have smich in order to pass in the Shabbos shaila. Anyway, so I'll call upon it, no matter how, when all the dust settles, everybody agrees that you don't need smuchin in the Zman HaZeh for Geirim. There's no shaila that the Geirim that are Megayim in Zman HaZeh are Geirim in that Minat Torah. That's not a question. The question is how do we get to that point? What happened to the requirement of Beis Din? So some Rishonim got there, Derech Shlich Hussai, while the Rishonim got there, Derech Shlich Hussai, and the Rambam seemed to get there by saying there was never a question in the first place. So at the end of the day, the Geirim is Chal Medaraisa, even in the absence of a Beis Din Shel Smuchin. But how exactly get there? That's subject to a major machlokes with a lot of lumdus in terms of understanding these principles of smuchin, shluch l'sayim, and some of the things that we spoke about. But again, it goes without saying, but even things which go without saying should be said. Years ago when I was in the Kol Elyon in NYU, so every year we had to go running around the country speaking about different controversial modern day topics. Remember, it had to always be something that was, that was a modern day, very contemporary type of a topic. So if you would say that you want to speak about, like, cooking on Shabbos or something, no, that's not contemporary enough. It has to be some contemporary. Remember Rabbi Simon, Baruch Simon used to always say that the definition of contemporary means something that doesn't appear in Shulchan Aruch. If it appears in Shulchan Aruch, it's already old story. So one year I ran around the country speaking about Geirus. So I used to always conclude all the drushes by saying that this is Mashal Mother Vadova. So a person has a splinter. So you have a splinter, so you don't have to go to a world-renowned surgeon to get a splinter removed. You got to go to a nurse. You got to get a Yom Radi. Mother knows how to take out a splinter. It's also good enough. But if your person, Khalila, has to get, you know, quadruple bypass surgery, so you don't go to your mother, unless your mother's a very good doctor. You try to find the best doctor around to do it. So I said there are different areas of halacha. Also, there are certain shailos in halacha that are not so critical. You have what they call the yalav yalav shailos. So if you have the yalav yalav shailos, or beach bonus, not beach bonus. So you know, off the core, you should find it. And every time you have the yalav yalav shailos, you can ask the, you know, the local rabbi. Hopefully, can answer the yalav yalav shailos. I said, but sometimes the shailos are very, very serious. I said the question whether a person is Jewish or not. So that's going to affect not only him, it's going to affect the entire Jewish community, it's going to affect his children for generations to come. So you better make sure you go into someone who's qualified. So then you go to the world. The world-renowned surgeon. That was my last words of all the rushes. And then I ran out. I didn't want to get any backlash to that comment, but that was my basic answer to everybody. So I remain with the same stand that these types of shayla dishes are nuchus geirus. So even though b'di'evad, even a beis shalosh yotos in theory can do it, but obviously these kinds of things should be handled by qualified dayanim. Okay.